following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the herb.
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator... Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Tuesday, August 2nd, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for this next hour of marijuana news and information that you can use. We got all sorts of great stuff here. Now, normally at this time, we'd be introducing our good friend, the engineer Ganja John. Unfortunately, he had to stay home today. He took too much of his medication, and so he...
Yar, be pirates here. Oh, ho, 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 and a ton of good smoke.
There's no pirates here. Sorry, the pirate Ganja John could not be here. Too much medication. Not the herbal medication, the actual pills. John can handle herbal medication for as long as the day is long, but some of those pharmaceuticals, those are some serious drugs there. And we know John's still recovering from, or not recovering, but living with a kidney transplant. You got to take all these anti-rejection drugs and stuff. So it can be difficult. But joining us in John's seat today is our intern, Wiz Calico. How you doing, Calico?
Aloha. Glad to be here.
How does it feel to be in the John seat?
It feels so powerful right here.
The power. Yes. Also joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, is our own Cannabis Carrie. Hello, Carrie.
Hi, you guys. I sure am sad when John's not there. He's fun.
I am, too. We have a lot. John likes to say, he's the yang to my yin. And, so sometimes an hour or two, he gets away with saying things.
Sounds a little weird. I don't know if he should be saying that.
That John is my yang? Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe that's not the right way to put that. All right. Cannabis Carrie has our hemp headlines that we do right after the first break. So what do we got in the news today, Carrie?
Well, today...
Oh, my goodness. So we seem to have lost Carrie on the lines there.
We have a story from the sports world about a fan death. Yeah?
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, we've got you back, Carrie. Okay.
Hello, am I still here? Okay, great. See what happens when Ganja John leaves.
That's what I'm saying. Ghost in the machine. So we heard we got a story on that death of a fan. What else do we have?
I'm also going to tell you about a California clinic that's being accused of discrimination against medical marijuana patients, and we've got an update on that Brewer lawsuit. It seems like everybody wants people to throw that out, so yeah. I'll tell you all about that coming up.
That's Jan Brewer, the governor of Arizona down there, who thinks that they should throw out the medical marijuana law in that state. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Plus, I got some interesting news from our normal web pages, an advertisement that really surprised us. We'll tell you all about that and give you a look in the webcams. Today is Electric Tuesday as well, so we will be getting to our Daily Toker Tunes at 20 past the hour, and today we've got some music from the Home Beat Project. And then at half past the hour, we're going to... Northern California there, middle of California, actually. And we're going to speak to Jeff Clark from the California Clemency Project and Ed Sulla, the executive director of Bakersfield Normal. And they've got to warn us about some terrible new regulations that are coming up in Kern County, California, regarding medical marijuana. And at the end of the show, a radical rant about DEA raids. Once again, I've got to get something off my chest. All that and more coming up on Normal Show Live. Back after this.
This is Normal Show Live. The voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapist will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
What's up, guys? I'm Rory from Revolution, chilling at the Spring Fest, San Bernardino, California. Just chilling at the Normal Live. Wanted to say what's up and keep it green.
Hey, Tokers, this is Radical Russ encouraging you to check out the great music this summer. And one group you should definitely check out are big supporters of normal and marijuana legalization, and that's Slightly Stupid. Get all the details online at SeedlessSummerTour.com. Slightly Stupid. Revolution. And Cisco. It's the stoniest show of the summer, coming to Missoula, Boise, Redmond, Washington, Eugene and Jacksonville, Oregon, Lake Tahoe, Berkeley, San Diego, Salt Lake City, Aspen, Denver, Asbury Park, Guilford, New Hampshire, Philadelphia, Boston, New York, Baltimore, Charlotte, Cocoa Beach, Boca Raton, St. Augustine, Atlanta, Raleigh, Columbus, Ohio, Chicago, Mesa, Arizona, and Irvine, California. Don't miss it. For more details, visit SeedlessSummerTour.com. Seedless Summer Tour is sponsored by Seedless.com, Sector 9, Groove Shark, Revolution Vodka, and Silver Surfer Vaporizers.
Five of the last seven people to run for president and the last three winners have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. Marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
A hospital clinic in California is being accused of refusing medical services to medical marijuana patients. Sam Slater, a disabled veteran living near Valley Springs, California, was the first to go public with his account. Slater said he had been told by the clinic director, Dr. Rafael Rosado, that he couldn't receive care at a Mark Twain clinic in Valley Springs unless he promised to discontinue his use of medical marijuana. In early July, Slater said it wasn't just the doctor that had a problem with his medical marijuana use, but the front office staff at the clinic as well. At the time he came forward, hospital president Feliciano Duran and Dr. Sean Anderson, the hospital's vice president of medical affairs, suggested that Slater may have misunderstood Dr. Rosado. But since then, several patients have come forward with similar stories about the Mark Twain St. Joseph's Clinic. David Jack, a 68-year-old who suffers from a congenital brain tumor, recounted that when he called in, he was in pain and told him he was just trying to get a hold of his own doctor. But rather than scheduling him an appointment with his longtime physician, Dr. Paul Jacobson, Jack said the clinic receptionist told him he would not be allowed to see a doctor unless he signed a form promising not to use medical marijuana. Jack said that he then called a higher-ranking administrator, and she said the same thing. He says that the administrator he talked to went into an absolute rant about how his regular doctor, Dr. Jacobson, should not have ever given him a recommendation for cannabis. Hospital administrators say that this may be because of a form potential patients fill out, one that is recommended by the American Academy of Pain Medicine. Dr. Rosado wrote in response, quote, "The true issue here is that we have a huge problem with patients who take prescribed pain medicines while also abusing illegal substances." He said that the clinic would never turn anyone away for choosing to use marijuana as long as they were not being treated with a prescribed controlled substance or the use of the marijuana affected the care they received at the clinic. Also on that form, a statement that the patient agrees to random drug testing and understands that they can be discharged from care if they test positive. Two more patients, Jack and Paula Stevens, both 45, who both suffer back pain due to scoliosis and degenerative disc disease, said that other doctors apologized to them later after each initial...
Oh, I'm terribly sorry to everybody listening. We are having some severe issues with the Skype connection with Cannabis Carrie, so I am going to try to dial her back up again to see if that will give us a better connection, give us a better way to be able to hear the news, because we do have some important stuff to get to you. Let's just make sure you'll be able to hear it. All right, in other news, I wanted to bring up a story here that we've got from the Normal TV website. You know our website out at YouTube, our YouTube channel, Normal TV, brings you all sorts of great, short, informative videos. It's got the Ask Normal segment where we ask Alan St. Pierre, Keith Stropp, Sabrina Fendrick, the staff at the Washington, D.C. office, various questions on marijuana law reform. It also features videos that we shoot out at the various events, for example, Ziggy Marley performing live at the Normal conference, or some of the panels and speeches that we have. So that this channel, is very popular and gets a lot of likes on Facebook and a lot of views on YouTube. So we've just begun to get advertising put up on that channel, and coming soon on the normal.org front page to help raise money for marijuana law reform. So you've got to imagine just how surprised we were when we saw the Normal TV page the other day, and lo and behold, right there in the corner advertisement, I'm showing the screen cap right now on our web channel, on our web screens here, right there on Normal TV in the top right corner, an advertisement for Barack Obama's 2012 re-election campaign. Now, some of the videos that you'll find out on Normal TV will detail you in great detail how President Obama has betrayed his promises on ending the raids on medical marijuana patients, how he's denying the science, how he reinstated Michelle Leonhardt as the DEA administrator, a Bush administration holdover. So if he thinks he's going to be courting votes when people can watch those videos on that channel, that's he's got another thing coming. And another thing about this is that we've had some people comment on the blog saying, why would you accept advertising from Barack Obama? Why would you accept his advertising? Well, folks, the situation is that we don't accept advertising from any particular group or person. We do this through blog ads, and the way that the whole blog ad system works is that you have a space on your webpage that you have available, and then anyone who signs up for blog ads could have that placed on that space. So we don't even really know who's going to be on the ad or which ad is going to be placed until we see it there on the screen. So it's not as if Obama contacted us and we said, sure, we'll take your advertising money. But since he did, what better place to spend some of Barack Obama's advertising money than helping to support marijuana law reform and bring an end to the prohibition that he continues to support. I think, all in all, this is a good thing.
A tragic death at a Colorado Rockies game earlier this year is now being blamed on marijuana and alcohol. Robert Siemens was trying to slide down a metal stair railing during the seventh inning of a May 24th game with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And according to the autopsy released today, he fell between 20 and 30 feet and struck his head on concrete. He was declared brain dead.
Yeah, unfortunately, it looks like that that connection is not going to be working for us, so I will continue this. He was declared brain dead about 12 later on May 25th. Rockies spokesman Jay Alves said that the stadium, which was built in 1995, complies with Denver's building codes, but they are always reviewing their policies and venue to assure fan safety, although he admitted that Siemens' death did not prompt a special review of safety at the stadium. The report on Siemens' death from the Denver Medical Examiner's office reported that the fan had marijuana in his system and that he also had a blood alcohol level of 0.19%, more than twice the legal limit for driving in the state. The coroner concluded that his death was caused by the marijuana mixed with alcohol that was a significant contributing factor in the 27-year-old's death. It was unclear whether Siemens had purchased alcohol at the stadium before his fall. Alves said the Rockies have a program to deal with intoxicated fans, but declined to discuss details other than to say the ball club bans alcohol sales after the seventh inning. If it seems unfair that marijuana is being blamed along with alcohol in this issue, the stadium is named Coors Field. Yeah, and here's another issue with this. This coroner saying that the marijuana in his system contributed to the death, you know, mixed with alcohol here. That's quite a leap unless we know what was the THC in his system, right? If they're measuring active nanograms of THC in his system and it were above, you know, 15 nanograms or something like that, perhaps you have some sort of argument here. So why is it when these stories come out, we get the fixed number for the alcohol? They tell us the 0.19 on the alcohol, but they don't tell us what the nanograms per milliliter of THC in the blood is. And that's just an assumption. We don't know that he didn't determine marijuana in the system from urine screens, which would tell us nothing but the fact that the guy had metabolites in his system from use long, long ago. So now, I'm not saying that combining marijuana with alcohol isn't going to lead to an accident like this. We do have the science. We've talked to Dr. Mitch about this before, how marijuana significantly helps the impairment factors of alcohol. They're synergistic here. They work together to make you more impaired. So, yes, mixing marijuana and alcohol could lead to a fall like this, but it's quite a leap when we know he was drunk as a skunk at 0.19 and he just had marijuana in his system to conclude that the marijuana itself added to this and made this accident possible. He goes on here to say it was a significant contributing factor in his death, but wouldn't someone who's a 0.19 alcohol and no marijuana in their system be likely to fall off of a balcony like that and have that same sort of accident? Again, it's just a way they slant these stories, and especially like Carrie wrote up in the news copy here, slant a story when we're talking about somebody who dies at a place called Coors Field. All right, and a major blow to a lawsuit filed by Arizona Governor Jan Brewer yesterday when federal attorneys asked a judge to throw the entire suit out. Governor Brewer was seeking a ruling about the legality of the state's medical marijuana law. She had put a major provision of the law that governs the establishment of dispensaries in the state on hold while her office filed the suit. She said that she was seeking clarity on the federal law and needed assurance from the feds that state employees would not be prosecuted for working within the scope of Arizona's medical marijuana law. But Deputy U.S. Attorney Scott Risner said there is no legal basis for the lawsuit. Risner told U.S. District Court Judge Susan Bolton in legal papers filed in her court that absent some actual threat of prosecution under federal drug laws by his office, the question is purely academic and therefore not a proper subject for litigation. The state attorney general, Tom Horn, who filed the lawsuit in May on the governor's behalf, said the issue is more complex. He points out that several federal prosecutors, including Dennis Burke, the U.S. attorney for Arizona, warned that possession and sale of the drug remains illegal under federal law, and that is why Brewer directed him to seek clarification in federal court. He said that at Brewer's direction, the state has decided not to license any dispensaries, but that they have continued to certify patients, and that the threat of prosecution is real, according to Burke's letter. But the problem with the actual lawsuit is that to date, there is no state employee involved in issuing licenses, those that Brewer says she is most worried about, that have ever faced prosecution over a medical marijuana law. But the AG says that the letters to state officials in Arizona that promised to not go after medical marijuana users gave no assurance to others assisting the program. He said the threat lies in what the letters did not say. He contends that they did not give assurance to state employees or to dispensaries. Plus, he said the letters claimed they would vigorously prosecute anyone who is involved in the distribution of marijuana, a category that Horn says could include state workers. Horn takes issue with the Department of Justice to argue that the state, by putting the license issuing process on hold, is now not entitled to a ruling on the very issue that is holding up the process in the first place. But the Justice Department isn't the only one seeking to have the governor's lawsuit dismissed. Would-be dispensary owners and the ACLU are asking for the lawsuit to be dismissed in their own legal filings. As always, we will keep you posted on the situation in Arizona. What a strange situation we've got going here. They're ruling here basically that she can't sue because she's not letting the program go forward, and therefore there's no state employees at risk. If you let the program go forward, then they might be at risk, and then if one of them were busted, then you could file a lawsuit. You're asking Governor Brewer to file a lawsuit to get an injunction against something that right now, because of your intransigence, can't possibly happen. And even in bizarro world, that kind of lawsuit cannot stand. So kudos to this U.S. attorney for pointing this out. And again, Governor Brewer just needs to remember that if she thinks that the people of the state of Arizona are right on immigration laws, she should also think the people of the state of Arizona are right on their medical marijuana laws. Woo, Coleco. It's tough here with that, John, sometimes.
Yeah, it gets a little rough.
But we're going to do pirate. It. I hope he's okay. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this with some Electric Tuesday.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Did you know there are more tokers than Texans? Hi, I'm Radical Russ Belville, host of Normal Show Live. It's true, there are more adults who will consume cannabis in America this year than the population of Texas. This and thousands of other statistics and polls are part of my new book, Normal's Big Book of Marijuana Facts, including 19 full-color poster-sized infographics of cannabis data.
A entirely legitimate topic for debate.
If we're going to have that debate, we need the facts. But Normal's Big Book of Marijuana Facts isn't just some listing of statistics and tables. It's truly a big book, a huge weatherproof binder that becomes its own 12 by 18 presentation easel. The colorful charts are jam-packed with facts that draw interest, and the explanatory text is all rigorously researched from reputable sources. You can make the case against prohibition with the government's own numbers. You can learn more about Normal's Big Book of Marijuana Facts by visiting stash.normal.org/bigbook. Pre-orders are available, and shipping begins September 1st, 2011. That's stash.normal.org/bigbook.
What's up, guys? This is Miss High Times 2007, and you're chilling with us here at the Normal Podcast.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization and regulation and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. At Normal, we've been prepping for this debate for 40 years.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electric music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and experimental. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, folks, time to get a little electronica on you. We're going to turn things over to a song from brought to us from Cannabis Cure UK. Find him at...
You want a copy of that song for your iPod?
Oh, my goodness.
Check out the Daily Toker
That's
Tunes
not supposed
at the
to
Stash
happen.
Blog by surfing to stash.normal.org.
All right, we're having some problems getting that song to play. Let's see if I can pull that up manually. And play the tune. No, we are having problems with the music, so we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have your Daily Toker Tune.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes.
Starfish Design, makers of the original Gandalf.
And then Toker Tunes.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
All right, well, we're going to go back to the archives for this one since the tune I selected wouldn't play, and I don't know what's up with that, but that's the way things go when you're doing it live every now and then, and this is Normal Show Live. So here we go. This is some Acid Elf with Hamsterbation Acid.
Time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time.
sun rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation. The sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time. Now is the time. I have a dream. Every valley shall be exalted. I have a dream. Every hill and mountain will be made low. I have a dream. My children will not be judged by the color of their skin. This is our home. I have a dream. The rough places will be made clean. I have a dream. The crooked places will be made straight. That is something that I must say. We cannot turn back. I have a dream today. And for America to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. Let freedom ring, let freedom ring. Not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and mole hill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when it happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring, from every village and every hamlet, every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of our children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and singing the words of the old Negro spiritual. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. I have a dream. Every valley shall be exalted. I have a dream. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. I have a dream today. My children will not be judged by the color of their skin. This is our home. I have a dream. The rough places will be made clean. I have a dream. The crooked places will be made straight. That is something that I must say. We cannot turn back. I have a dream today.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha, ya no puede caminar.
You're listening to
porque
Normal Show
tiene,
Live.
Porque le falta marihuana que fuma.
You chip it.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
Legalize it. Don't criticize.
This is Peter Tosh for Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Did you know that more than 400,000 Americans were arrested last year for the possession of marijuana? People are being sentenced to up to 40 years for even standing beside a joint. Well, I think it is definitely time for you to help doing something towards this. To find out what you can do, just write Normal, N-O-R-M-L.
1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2006. That's 1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2006.
Help Normal to help protect your rights.
Legalization, decriminalization, lowest law enforcement priority, medical marijuana, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis, industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that interact nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare, the economy, global climate change, law enforcement in prisons, immigration, religion, free speech, energy policy, and war. Now, we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our Normal Show Live Cannabis Conversations.
I apologize. Neither Jeff Clark or Ed Sulla were available on the phone when we called out. We're going to go to the archives for this interview.
All right, joining us today here on the Daily Audio Stash, we have a very special guest from Silver City, New Mexico. Bobby Wooten is joining us, and we covered her story on the Daily Audio Stash headlines yesterday. And Bobby, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Now, I understand you've been doing a whole lot of interviews regarding your situation. Who have you talked to so far?
Every TV station locally. I have a number of
attorneys calling to help me. The ACLU called. They're joining my attorney and helping along with several other prominent lawyers.
Mm. Well, that's
so. I have more legal, protection. Somebody's trying to call. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay. More than I need.
Well, that's.
I had no idea the story would. Nationwide.
Well, that's
actually,
really good to hear.
I'm overwhelmed at the amount of support that I've received locally and from people in other states. A man from Bozeman, Montana, called me this morning to tell me that there are a large number of people there that are pulling for me.
Mm.
And I hope this helps as many people as possible.
Well, let's tell the people about your story. Basically, the recap here is that you lived in an apartment complex and you are a registered medical marijuana patient in the state of New Mexico. How long have you lived in that complex, by the way?
I have lived here for 6.5 years.
Okay, so you've never had any problems before this?
And no, I've never broken a rule, I've never broken a law, and in fact, I feel that I was set up, basically.
Yeah. So the situation here is this, that you are a medical marijuana patient. You had a car accident in the past that left you paralyzed from the waist down. You're in a wheelchair, so there's not a whole lot of places in your small town where you could possibly live that are wheelchair accessible, right?
That's correct.
And so they did a surprise apartment inspection. Is this a regular thing they do, these surprises?
Well, what it was is they got mad over an article I ran a few weeks ago on the recycle bins. I'm passionate about recycling.
Oh, that's good.
And, I won't go into that story, but it was a direct retaliation of that. I've had the plants in my house for months and months. The manager of these apartments, Tashonda Gaines, has entered my unit to inspect it several times over the past year and has said nothing. And I've made no attempt to hide it.
Okay.
Then a representative of the KK Realty Corporation out of Scottsdale, Arizona. Every now and then they come here and they pick 20% of all of the units here to inspect. And I have never been chosen in 6.5 years. My neighbor hasn't been chosen in 7. My daughter's lived here for 3. She has never been chosen randomly. And all of a sudden, both of our names come up, mine and my daughter's name.
Okay.
Coincidence? I think not.
Yeah.
So he comes in here. He's only here like 3 minutes. He shakes my hand, walks out. Then a maintenance man comes to my door and delivers me a letter that says that I have 3 days to get out of here, that there was a controlled substance found in my apartment.
Mm.
So I called the manager, and I asked her, I said, what would you like for me to do with this letter? And she said, well, did you read it? And I said, well, of course I read it. I have a license. And she said, oh, you do? And then she put her mother on the phone because
okay.
She's a box of rocks. She can't tell us anything. But anyways,
okay.
I told her mother, and her mother sent someone over to get my license. She made a copy of it, and then she called me back and told me that she's standing by the 3-day eviction until she heard from her lawyers.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I called the DA's office, which referred me to the Silver City Police. I had an officer come over here. He looked at my license, my plants. He said that they couldn't prosecute me and that basically the eviction notice wasn't worth the paper it was written on.
Uh-huh.
He had no right to do that, that they didn't. They were avoiding him. I also notified Mr. Sam Kahn of the Sun News. He came and they also avoided him as well.
Hmm.
Then I was told to contact Magistrate Judge Ron Hall, which I did. The secretary had a little mini conference with him and said that he couldn't speak to me because if this went to court, he would have to have both parties present.
Right.
Yeah, right. So I was at my wit's end. I called a friend who's in the FBI.
Wow.
I know. It was a little ironic, isn't it? But he gave me a name of a really good guy here, a lawyer, Mr. Tom Stewart. And he's helping me, took my case.
That's good.
And said that I didn't have to start packing my bag.
That's nice to know.
I know. So I was grateful for. And then after this story ran in the Sun News, I guess it was picked up by the Associated Press.
It was.
Went nationwide. And
well,
like I said, I was totally surprised that
This is not a rare story by any means. I'm calling you from Portland, Oregon, where we have a medical marijuana program here that allows patients to have up to 24 plants, and I probably have 24 stories of people who have been evicted from either their federal Section 8 housing or from a particular apartment complex that just didn't like what they were doing. And they always, it seems to me, the sticking point that always happens is in these leases, they'll have a part that says, you know, the leasee will comply with all federal laws. And since marijuana is not legal federally, that's where they kind of hang you up. Do you know if that's what's going on with your lease? Does your lease have a specific federal law?
They were trying to find a loophole in the lease.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that this is a drug-free apartment complex, and I'm not on HUD.
Right.
Basically, what they did is they came up with the new rules and regulations and stuck them in my door yesterday, and they want all tenants to sign the new rules and regulations.
Ah.
Yes.
Now, these new rules, do they say something specifically about
they
medical?
They changed, to cover, it's a CYA,
uh-huh.
Put it that way.
Hmm.
Basically, it says that no tenant is allowed to have a non-prescription controlled substance in their unit.
And that non-prescription's the trick
right.
there.
Right. Mm-hmm. And in New Mexico, you don't have to have a prescription. In California, you do.
Well, actually, in all the medical marijuana states, it's not a prescription. It's a recommendation.
No, this is how they handle it here.
Yeah.
You apply. They send you a packet. Your doctor fills it out. It goes before a review board. They have 30 days. Meet one of their seven conditions.
Right.
Then they issue you a license.
Right. My point was, though, that there are no federal prescriptions for marijuana in any of the states. They're always...
Well, I lived in Sacramento, California. That's what was required. You just had to have a prescription.
Yeah. I called
the head of the State Department of Health in Santa Fe and asked Melissa Milam that question, and she said that a prescription's not required, but that marijuana's not considered a controlled substance. So if they think they're being slick, OxyContin is, Valium, these types of things are
absolutely
considered controlled substance.
So you're still in your apartment at this point?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. And how do your lawyers feel about the case? They feel like they've got a good case here. It's going to be easy to win.
I think it's a good case, and they're thinking that maybe this corporation, hoping that they might want to settle out of court.
Yeah.
So we're not. I don't know which direction this is going to go yet.
Well, I would think they would probably go toward the settle out of court, because there's not much good PR value in kicking out a paralyzed woman in a wheelchair shortly before the Christmas holidays. I can't see anybody in their right mind wanting to take that to court.
Well, my attorney called Mr. Totten in Scottsdale, Arizona. He's a real smooth operator, and he was like, "Oh, you know, we wouldn't be that cold hearted," and da 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 da.
Uh huh. Sure.
Right. while I have the eviction notice.
Yeah. Right, so. Well, Bobby, I'll let you know that, you got supporters in Bozeman, Montana, and now through the Normal Daily Audio Stash, you're going to have supporters all around the world. We're heard in, we get listeners as far away as Japan, so.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, the whole world's going to know your story, and believe me, this is going to have.
Really trying to get a hold of
This is really going to have a positive effect for some other people, because other landlords are going to hear about this story, and they're either going to have to come up with a policy. If they're in one of the 12 states, they're going to have to come up with a policy that, fairly treats the people that are using cannabis as medicine. This is ridiculous. You can't kick people out for the, you can't evict someone for using Percocet. Why should you evict someone for using cannabis? It makes no sense.
Right.
Well, Bobby, thanks for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash. We'll keep you in our thoughts and prayers, and the website is stash.normal.org if you'd like to check it out.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak on your show, and I'd like to thank everyone out there for their support as well.
All right. Thank you, Bobby.
Right,
we recorded that interview with Bobby Wooten back in 2008, the fall of 2008, when she was being evicted. As far as an update on her story, I do believe that she managed to not get evicted from that place. They allowed her to stay, and that she got so much coverage and support from people throughout the Associated Press story that they were just kind of in a position they had to let her there.
I did do a lookup to find a story from January of 2011 where Bobby Wooten was in New Mexico and testifying about her use of medical marijuana. So it appears she's still active in the medical marijuana community and still making headlines down there in the land of enchantment. So again, Bobby Wooten, we'll get more updates on that perhaps later in the week. We'll do a search. We can get her back on the air and have her update us on her latest and greatest stuff that's going on for her, you know. And it was kind of fun just pulling that up out of the archives like we had to. But, you know, we do the show live, and sometimes when we're unable to get the guests on the phone, we have to go to Plan B. So we'll be right back after this. We are going to be back with a Radical Rant. We're going to talk about DEA raids and some more shocking video right after this.
Cannabinoids and health.
Cannabinoids.
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 Why am I having trouble saying that?
Cannabinoids.
Jeez.
Cannabinoids.
What a gift. Play more, play more if you can. You're looking for the dope weed. Fire it up. Play more, play more if you can. You're looking for the dope weed. Bully boy's a man. Play more, play more if you can. You're looking for the dope weed.
Okay, class, repeat after me. Am I free to go, officer? I don't consent to any searches, officer. I wish to speak to my attorney before answering any questions, officer. These three phrases may help your attorney keep your ass out of a jail cell someday. So memorize them and use them.
Would anybody like to smoke some pot?
Yeah.
You ever smoked before?
Sure.
When did you ever smoke pot?
I've done a lot of things you don't know about.
Yeah?
I won't go schizo, will I?
It's a distinct possibility.
Is this right?
Just try not to drool quite so much.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of his collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, folks, welcome back. We're going to start this rant out, and maybe against my better judgment by our technical specifications for today, but let's start this off with some video from My Fox Detroit. Oh, of course. Oh, boy, we are definitely having the technical show to end all shows. I cannot believe this. Okay, well, we'll just talk about this story from My Fox Detroit that appeared up on the news feeds the other day. And this was from My Fox Detroit pointing out that Ramsey Tossa is a lot of things. He's a U.S. citizen, a retired military translator, and a proud father. But a criminal he is not.
Still, he says he was treated like one Tuesday morning around 2 a.m. when he woke up to find DEA agents banging loudly on the door. As soon as I opened the door, somebody grabbed me and took me outside and put me on the grass, Tossa said. The first thing I thought was that they were terrorists who want to kill me because I served in Iraq. Well, technically, Ramsey, they are terrorists. Don't you feel pretty terrorized? The DEA says the person they were looking for is actually the landlord's son. He uses that house as his address. And that's what happened here. We got the wrong address. And once again, it shows how the drug war can touch each and every one of us. We've told so many of these stories. We had the mayor in Maryland, who had his house burst into by the agents because there was some sort of shipping ring going on that was shipping marijuana to different addresses and accidentally left a big 32-pound box on his doorstep. They go in there and shoot his dogs as well. So this is not an uncommon story. We've got the story from Columbia. Here we go. Now the video wants to play. Let's
Officers
see if we can get that to you.
Officers bust into a home in Sterling Heights armed with a search warrant. The only problem? The guy they were searching for doesn't live there.
It was a frightening ordeal that the family will never forget. Fox News' Alexis Wiley has their story.
I just don't believe it. I just don't believe it.
Ramsey tosses a lot of things. He's an American citizen, a retired military translator who helped capture Saddam, and a proud father. But a criminal, he is not.
They did a big mistake.
It happened Tuesday morning around 2 a.m. while Ramsey and his family were sleeping.
I heard banging on the door. Very loud. As soon as I opened the door, somebody grabbed me and took me outside, put me on the grass. I thought the first thing they are terrorists. They wanted to kill me because I served in Iraq.
But these were not terrorists. They were DEA agents executing a search warrant.
I saw them dragging my wife from the same door and then dragging my daughters half naked. I keep asking, what's going on? What do you want? And they hold my neck around to the ground so I can't talk.
Ramsey says he started having what he thought was a heart attack. Paramedics ended up taking him to the hospital. When it was finally over, the agents took a few pieces of mail addressed to someone who the Tosses say they never met. And now they're left with hospital bills and emotional scars that won't go away. Ramsey's daughter is taking it the hardest.
She wake up every morning, she cry. Because she doesn't believe the fact that her father was under a laser. She doesn't know if they're going to shoot me or not.
I went through some of the documents the DEA left behind. I tracked down a phone number for one of the agents involved. He tells me that the guy they were looking for is actually the landlord's son, and he was using this as his address. But the family says that if the DEA had done any investigating, they would have figured out that the person they were searching for didn't live here long before they ever came into that door.
Before they raid any house, they should have more information. Precisely. Something accurate, not rumors, not a person, facts.
The Tulsa say they are demanding answers before something like this happens to someone else. In Sterling Heights, I'm Alexis Wiley, Fox 2 News.
A DEA spokesperson contacted Fox 2 a short time ago. He says Mr. Tossa's allegations are being taken seriously, but he denied claims that agents ever threw him to the ground. He also indicated there was likely cause to search the house.
Yeah, this retired military translator's making it up. Making it up that they threw him to the ground, dragged his half-naked daughter out onto the lawn. Is this the America that y'all signed up for? Is this the America that I swore an oath to defend when I was in the military? I don't think so. This is not the way our police forces should be treating our citizens. And one of the things that I think gets lost in a story like this, and you heard it at the end where Tossa is saying they should have more facts, they should not just go off of rumors. No! They shouldn't be doing this to anybody, even if they have the facts. Even if they have x-ray vision and can see that I am growing 1,000 marijuana plants in my house, there is no excuse for battering down the door in the middle of the night, terrorizing my family, and putting laser sights on my forehead. This is a plant we're talking about that doesn't kill anybody. And yeah, I know it's illegal, but really, was there any danger? Even if you assumed the guy in there was a major marijuana grower sitting on kilo after kilo, was there any danger in knocking on that door? Was there any danger in serving that warrant like you would serve a warrant for a tax evader
or, you know, an embezzler or something like that. No, the very reason here is to terrorize the population. The very reason here is to show people how drugs are bad. If you get involved with drugs, look at the bad things that could happen. Not because of the drugs, because of what we'll do to you. That because you're using the drugs. And not all drugs. If they have barcodes on them, you're fine. But if you use the drugs that are made by brown people in other countries, then no. We're going to have to lock your ass up and, you know, throw your half-naked daughters out in the freezing cold or the blistering sun or the midnight or have everybody look at them. We're going to terrorize you. We're going to burst into your home and we're going to shoot your dog. That's what we're going to do to you because we feel the drug you're using isn't the right one. And now it's Miller time! Catch a cold Coors Light. Get yourself an Ambien if you can't sleep. If you got some anxiety problems, try Prozac. Well, Butrin, we got all sorts of drugs for you. You want to take drugs? We got plenty of drugs. You just can't take the drugs that you can grow yourself. You just can't take the drugs that are propping up the economies in South and Latin America. No. You got to take the drugs that are approved by the people who advertise on our television networks, the drugs that are approved by the people who take campaign donations. Those are the drugs you need to take. Oh, yeah, I know. They destroy your liver, and you get addicted to them, and you feel like a drooling zombie half the time, and you get all constipated. And some of them, you know, some of the antidepressants, they'll even make you want to kill yourself. But that's okay, because they're legal drugs. They're legal. See, if they're legal, they're good. And if they're illegal, they're bad. And this justifies why we need to take a U.S. veteran, a man who served his country, translating for us to try to, you know, defeat the terrorists in our other war on a concept. And this justifies the way we're going to treat this guy, because drugs are bad. Why are drugs bad? Well, look at what bad things happen if you use drugs. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's American terrorism. It's a domestic police force run amok, militarized to the hilt. And when you give them all these big boy toys and the tanks and the battle armor and the laser sights and the titanium-fanged dogs, they're going to think it's a war, and they're going to think the people they are policing are the enemy. And that is what is happening in America, is we are becoming a police state in no small part due to the war on drugs. And it really, folks, isn't about the drugs, right? We all know people that smoke pot. Hell, most of us watching and listening to this show smoke pot. Most of the people we know smoke pot. And out of that whole list, yeah, we can think of some flakes. Maybe some guys are a little, you know, weird, a little strange. I have trouble thinking of any of them that are a problem to society in a real manner, though, that are really, really threatening. I don't see any of them, say, you know, shooting up a playground in Norway. You know, I don't see them bombing a federal building in Oklahoma. You get my drift here? People that aren't really a danger to any others. And this is the way that they use this tool to oppress us and to get us used to this police state, because the 25 million people that are using marijuana to large part are employed, responsible, average Americans. The drug problem, addiction, overdose, people that are so addicted to something they'll commit crimes to be able to get the next fix, that's like 6 million people total, compared to the 25 million that are smoking marijuana. And of those 6 million, only a percentage of them actually do have a problem, despite what the media would like you to think, that, you know, one toot of a crack pipe and you're permanently addicted, or meth is impossible to get off of. Despite all that scaremongering and propaganda, the facts are, even the people using the hard drugs, it's a minority of them that end up having those severe problems. So folks, don't let them fool you into thinking the war on drugs has anything to do with fighting a war on actual drugs or the use of drugs. It has nothing to do with solving that problem. It has to do with getting people to accept a police state, getting people to allow their civil liberties to be shredded right in front of them in the name of confronting some demon that other people do. Right? But as we've seen from this TASA here on this video, it's not always other people that suffer. Sometimes it is you, the non-pot smoker out there, who suffers. Sometimes it is you because of a mistake on a warrant or overzealous enforcement. Hell, who knows, a stray bullet from the duplex next door. You never know. It can happen to you. You've got to realize this. And you've also got to realize the war on drugs has nothing to do with stopping me from smoking a joint. Because guess what? Been smoking them for 20 years. Hasn't stopped me. Not going to stop me. Not going to stop most of my listeners out there either. We're going to continue to do this.
has nothing to do with trying to stop. It has to do with terrorism. It has to do with terrorizing the population, has to do with keeping them in line, having them not ask a whole lot of uncomfortable questions, and to put up with miserable little lives working in menial little jobs. That's what it has to do with. Think about that. That's the Radical Rant for today. And thank you so much, everybody, regular listeners, for putting up with all of the difficulties we had here in today's podcast. It was like a trifecta, if you will, the perfect storm of mistakes, technical difficulties, and general blather. But, you know, they can't all be gems. This is show, by the way, show number 750. Congratulations. Hooray for us.
That's awesome.
Show number 750, and it was a train wreck from beginning to end. Yes. Thank you so much.
I'm glad I was aboard for this train wreck.
Yes. For Cannabis Carrie and Wiz Khalifa, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow with a much better podcast. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it all one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.